and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sherrod Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, back in March, Malaysia collaborated with the WHO in a solidarity trial to test several drugs globally in treating COVID-19 patients. However, since then, despite proactive signalling that we are keen to participate in clinical trials of a COVID-19 vaccine, late-stage clinical trials are being conducted elsewhere and not in Malaysia. Tonight on the show, we want to discuss how Malaysia maybe might need to reposition itself in the area of drug research and development. Dr. Akmal Yusof is the CEO of Clinical Research Malaysia, and he joins us on the show tonight. Welcome, Dr. Akmal. It's good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Maybe you can begin by telling us a little bit about what CRM, or Clinical Research Malaysia, does. What exactly was it set up to achieve?
Well, Clinical Research Malaysia was set up to improve in terms of the way how we manage clinical research in Malaysia, especially sponsored research that comes from multinational company and contract research organization. It was formed back in 2012. Now we have, glad to say that there are more than 1,400 clinical trials that we have conducted. At present, we are conducting around 800 clinical trials across 170 centers in Malaysia, involving more than 800 clinicians. And of course, you just imagine how many support staff we are talking about. Mm. In Clinical Research Malaysia, we have around 130 personnel that look into clinical research as a study coordinators.
Okay, so as I understand, CRM's work is both to market Malaysia as a destination for clinical trials and also to provide support services when those trials do come to the country. So perhaps help us understand, what do you say? How does the country market itself globally in when it comes to things like clinical trials?
Well, it's a good question. Actually, when we first started, we were grappling what are the fine things that we can sell in terms of the value proposition. Okay. I'm glad to say that the paramount value proposition is towards ourselves in terms of the properties of being multi-racial populations. Mm. We have a diverse genomics, for that matter, and a third of world population genomics practically live in Malaysia. Secondly, we have fantastic clinicians, researchers with a good track record. I say good, exactly an underestimate, because we have delivered excellent results that produce speed, reliability and quality in delivering of clinical trials. Mm. But most of all, we are being supported by the government itself. In terms of clinical research, Ministry of Health has a fantastic infrastructure and improving every year on year to welcome clinical research to Malaysia.
Is CRM affiliated to the government? It's set up by the government?
It is set up by the government. We are affiliated or actually owned by the Ministry of Health.
All right. So what I'm trying to understand is, why is it that Malaysia wants to position itself to attract clinical trials? Why is that a good thing? Why do we want clinical trials in our country?
I believe it's all about how we can create more jobs in terms of the scientists, the clinicians. Maybe clinician is not a good example, but a science graduate, for a matter, okay, they will be able to actually start from somewhere by being a study coordinator.
Job creation in the sciences.
Exactly. Okay. Number two is about bringing in gross national income. Each clinical research project comes with sponsors, what they call budget and finance. Number three, I think it is also important to bring in the clinical trials so that we can have other intangible benefit. The intangible benefit that I'm leading to is, one, getting our doctors involved in multiple new science and getting their experience and technology with new development, for that matter. Being able to write their own methodology when conducting clinical research by being part of the clinical research team. Mm-hmm. And also about being able to introduce new medicine which is available but not registered yet in the world. These are medicines that would be able to help patients who have exhausted their standard therapy, oncology for that matter. One field clinical, the standard therapy, the other way to go is clinical trials.
Mm. It's very interesting. It's nice to know that we're a great guinea pig nation. I think, actually guinea pig is not a bad word. I do want to ask you, though, when we talk about investments in the country, we often talk about different grades of investments, right? And I understand that there is some discussion about the types of investments we're getting. We're not getting the top of the line. We're not getting the first phase, first in human types of trials. Those are the kind of the privilege, but the ones that people seek to get as more important than the kind of last phase trials that we are getting. Is that true? Is that criticism correct?
Spot on. But before I answer that, I'd like to reword back about what you said earlier about the nation of guinea pigs. I think it's not correct on that basis. I like people to look at clinical trials as another source of treatment. It should be part of the management of patients. If you go to international centers in the whole wide world, in the Western world or in the Eastern world, if you are lack of treatment, the next things, or you have exhausted the treatment, the next thing is clinical trial. It should be treated as part of the treatment of the patients. Now, back to your questions about the investment in early phase of clinical research. Yes, I agree with you that there are very limited number that we receive, but that doesn't mean we are trying to build up that infrastructure. We have now a phase one first in human center that is dedicated to receive all these international or even local studies.
Dr. Amar, maybe before you get into that, perhaps for the layperson like myself who may not understand the ins and outs of a clinical trial, can you please break it down for us what a clinical trial entails when you talk about the first phase or the late stage? What are the different stages and phases, and why are they, some are more desirable than others?
In short, there are three stages of clinical trials. The first phase is about getting the medicine from animal studies to human. Okay. And this is what we call as first in human. And in the first phase of clinical research, we are looking at whether the dose is right from being from the animal studies to human, whether it is safe, whether it doesn't cause any much problem in terms of human for that matter. Then we move on to the second stage where it is looking at how it's supposed to do in terms of hypothesis. If it's hypertension, does it really do the work that it's supposed to do? But most of all, it's also looking at safety. And the number of patients in phase one is probably maybe less than 100, but in the phase two, it probably more, maybe around 200 to 300 patients. But when it goes to the bigger scale in phase three, involves maybe 1,000, 3,000, depending on the hypothesis that we are trying to prove, these type of studies are looking at not only safety, but also efficacy. And efficacy can be so many types of objective for that matter, whether it's a progression-free, whether it's survival, and that determines how long the study can be.
Okay. So very quickly, why is the first phase, first in human trials, preferable or much sought after, whereas the late stage trials that we seem to get a lot of are less preferable in terms of the kind of matrix that you set out in the first instance?
Economic scale, it's like a waterfall effect. If you have the experience of doing the first in human, you get more phase two, you get more phase three studies.
Okay, understood.
And that will trickle down and open up the whole conundrum for other types of compound or similar classes, different compound to be conducted in the country.
Okay.
That's why we move on into building up the first in human and first phase center.
All right, Dr. Amar, we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break, come back and continue this conversation on Consider This. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.